This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello, good morning, sir.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Getting ready for SEMA show and then LA Auto Show, and there's plus many other events that I don't think I'm going to be able to get to. But
I was going to be jealous because you were going to see the new Dodge unveiling at SEMA, but now I'm not.
So. Yeah, so many things are changing for sure. But yes, yeah, I mean, you brought up an interesting point already. Some of these companies are pulling out of the SEMA show, and it has nothing to do with SEMA. It has to, in this particular case, Dodge, all of Stellantis, the Dodge brand, which usually has a big presence in Southall.
Especially because others haven't over the past couple of
years.
Yes,
with Mopar and the crate engines and the Jeeps and all that stuff. And then I think they did some stuff outside and some overlanding stuff. And it was a big presence to have there.
I wonder while you're speaking about the overall presence, the driving experience.
Yeah. So if they managed it and foot the bill for it, then they're not going to be there. So what's happening is the UAW strike, the union that's on strike, it's been going on longer than anybody hoped it would. And the car companies are being forced to really cut expenses. So that's kind of what's happening. So Dodge is completely pulled out of the SEMA show. Honestly, in the next few days, I'm not sure who else is going to make that sort of change, but it'll be an interesting deal over there. Now, if you got a sponsored car or something, a dollar car or whatever, and you built it for the show, there's still going to be plenty of the Dodge Jeep vehicles there. All those builds will be there.
Oh, yeah.
But the official corporate booth is not going to be set up. And this late in the game, I think it's probably just going to be a lounge area. They're going to set up some high tops and maybe some water stations, and that's about it, because it's going to be a big empty space.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to get into it by any means to the detail we could, but yeah, you know, remember over the past couple of years when large manufacturers backed out, they tried to fill the spaces with other vendors, and it was a shit show.
It was, but
either they filled the spaces or they used them, just like you said, as like rest stops or whatever it may be.
Yeah, so. And that was so they did this thing where they made the aisles like a little bit wider, and then they put some rest stops. It was actually really nice. It was easier to get around when they did that, but
easier, yes.
So the other big thing is going to be SEMA Fest, and we're going to talk to the guys from SEMA about it. So actually, I see Tom is joining the meeting, so let's just we'll bring him in. Okay, so we're welcoming Tom Cattuso. Tom's a VP at SEMA and is been tasked with pulling off the SEMA Fest, which by no means is a small feat. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks. No, it's fun to be here.
So tell us a little bit about it. So this was announced a year ago, and as Bill and I are been in the entertainment space for a while, working with guys like Adam Carolla, and Bill's been and doing not just acting, but is a veteran of live events, WWE, yeah. WCW, all around the world, you know, can understand what it takes to pull off a live event. So when we heard this announcement of SEMA Fest, it sounded very interesting. It sounded like fun. And I mean this in the best way possible. We got on the podcast and said, give these guys 2 or 3 years to kind of work out the kinks. So pull off a big live event like this is not an easy task to do. The SEMA show, the trade show you guys have been doing for so long, you've kind of got that figured out. And even that's not easy to do again and again and again and again, you know, but to add this component to it, what's been your year look like this?
it's been a steep learning curve, to say the least. But really the whole evolution of this goes way back, where we started doing experiential stuff in the parking lot at the SEMA show, starting in like the 2006, 2007 timeframe. And we produced an episode of Overhauling out in front of the show, and everything just kind of took off. So we've had this element of the show where pretty much as soon as you step on campus, you can see and hear and smell our industry in full display. So it's one of these things where we were watching that. And when it comes to live events, I'm sort of a student of the trade and consumer show industry. So I come at it from a very analytical standpoint. And we're looking at the changing marketplace. So for SEMA, during COVID, we actually had our enthusiasts, our end user enthusiasts, get closer to the manufacturers. And SEMA is an association essentially of manufacturers and service providers. So our members came to us and said, how do we do more stuff with this end user? And what can we build around that? So when we started to think about it, we added a SEMA membership for an individual a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was our first tie into it, to have this direct connection. And then they wanted to come to the SEMA show. And we thought, okay, how do we do that and still maintain the B2B viability of that event? Because it is just an incredible contribution to the automotive industry every year. And it's where innovation and everything happens. So we started to think about creating another event that a consumer could go to that would overlap well with our trade show. And then, as fate would have it, the workforce is changing in its dynamic, where right now millennials outnumber boomers in the workforce. And millennials are looking, we've been talking about this for years, that they were coming, but they're looking for different things. So from a trade show element, they're looking to tie business and leisure together. They're looking for more entertainment. So we thought, okay, if we could build something that this younger person in the workforce was going to be able to really get their business done and still check the box on finding value at it. And all this stuff accelerated during COVID because you had, you know, the great retirement or the great resignation or whatever you want to call it. So you have all these new people in the workforce that don't know what to do at a trade show because they haven't been going to them for 20 years. So we had this blank slate. We thought, okay, how cool would it be if we could build an event that would be cool for car enthusiasts, but also attract what we called a car curious crowd. So somebody that may not be into cars, but could be into music, and tying that music element into it and then getting them excited about drifting or off-roading or freestyle motocross or whatever we could expose them to, and converting these car curious people into enthusiasts and really growing the whole base of the automotive lifestyle. So it's an aspirational goal, but it's easy to get there when you're thinking 10 years down the road. And that's kind of where we are. So this is year one of the 10 years, and the learning curve has been steep. And the last year has been incredible with the amount of stuff we're learning. But now we've got two events that are really coming online that are just going to be great.
Was the plan always to have them back to back like this, or because it does feel a little bit like the SEMA show is changing, but really there's the SEMA show and then there's SEMA Fest right after it.
Right.
And they're really kind of two events, but for those of us that have been going to the SEMA show for 15, 20 years, it feels a little bit like the SEMA show is changing and turning into this enthusiast thing. So it was having them sort of back to back always the plan, or was it supposed to be like 3 months in between?
No, it's always been the plan because we've had SEMA Ignited, which was a Friday only event that just went for 6 hours at the end of the SEMA show. We kind of dubbed that the after party of the SEMA show. But really, it's one of these things where the marketplace is going to dictate what happens with live events. Because if you create something that nobody goes to, you really haven't created anything. So what we're doing is we're looking at how the marketplace is going to react. And this is everything from the manufacturers of products to the distribution network to the end user. And to be able to capture all of that in one place. So you've got the person that makes it, the person that sells it, and the person that buys it all interacting together. And they're doing this in a week long, call it SEMA week, with different events. It really gives us this opportunity to expand the width of the automotive marketplace. So we looked at it like that originally, and we're going to see how it goes. Because if you can think of like a typical trade show, you have an awards banquet. We have our own awards banquet on Thursday. But if you could have an awards banquet with 30,000 people at it and top bands performing at it, how would the industry feel about something like that? So you could maintain the integrity of the 9-to-5 version of the trade show, but you'd have something for the industry to be able to gather and network and just really have an incredible experience. And we're competing with Las Vegas nightlife and that type of thing. But when you look at some corporate events like a Dreamforce, which is Salesforce's big gathering every year, and some of these Amazon conferences and that type of thing, they're doing a similar thing. So we're looking at this from a lot of levels, and it really is more analytical than you'd think. It's not just us trying to start a festival, but it's really us trying to figure out what questions is the marketplace asking in 5 years, and can we build an answer for it now and be ready for it as it goes? So it's really exciting to be at the front of that and to have that aspirational vision. But at the same time, we really have to put the whole thing to a test and see how it goes. And so far, yeah, the things are reacting well.
So the sort of integration of enthusiasts into the industry, I'm a fan of. It certainly makes sense. But what about the evolution of the SEMA show? And I know you're tasked more with SEMA Fest, but how does the trade show itself start to evolve? Like, we've got enthusiasts coming in on Friday now. There's a handful that are allowed to purchase tickets. They can come and see the booths. And yeah, I think some manufacturers, some exhibitors would say, you know, we like that, but our trade show booth looks different than what a consumer enthusiast booth would look like.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So they go, well, how do we make a presentation that makes the most sense for both of those scenarios? Or does the SEMA show evolve to maybe a selling event? Is it 3 days of trade show and then, you know, 2-3 days of transactions, bring enthusiasts in and they're allowed to, you know, listen, I'm sure every one of those companies would love to sell more product. And anybody that's ever moved a booth anywhere, their first thing is how do I sell everything that's literally here on the floor? Because I don't want to bring it home. And then also, like, how many orders can I get and then fulfill those orders later? Like maybe pre-orders on some new parts or mail order for exhaust kits or whatever. And you can come in, you can see some demos and talk to the salespeople. It's like it could be the greatest enthusiast selling event for those companies if it sort of evolved into that one day. I don't know if that's the plan or how complicated that would be, but it seems like trade show and then huge SEMA party. Where's the middle portion? You know, where's all the exhibitors, manufacturers getting involved with the enthusiast portion of it?
And that kind of leads into my question, which would be what percentage of the original vendors that have been at SEMA all week are going to stay for that, for the
right
Yeah, see, what's in it for them?
Or trade is it going to be just the people that come on Friday and stay for the weekend? So, I mean, obviously the goal is to integrate all of it together.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of what we've created. Where right now, if you just looked at where our exhibit base was, I think of it as 50-50. We've got, 40% of our exhibitors would rather have it be pure B2B when we're talking about the SEMA show. And 40% want consumers there. And 20% can't decide. So let's just keep doing that 40-40. Yeah. Let's call it 50-50. But I really think what's going to happen is we're going to get to a place with order fulfillment where somebody is going to talk to a B2B person and a B2C person, and they're not going to necessarily notice how they're going to deliver that product. They're not going to notice there's a difference. And if you look at our industry 20 years ago, WDs were how business got done. And they would work the show and they would push the products into the retail channels. And there wasn't a big direct connection from a manufacturer to an end user. And now the marketplace has changed. Like manufacturers now have their own websites. They're selling products direct. They're drop shipping to smaller distribution channels. And as that continues to evolve, I think we're going to see this 50-50 continue to shift on the side of the consumer. And then that's where we're going to be poised to be able to say, all right, what we've now built will satisfy the marketplace, but we're going to be able to ebb and flow between the two. And that's been the intent all along, was let's be prepared for what our industry needs and deliver it in such a way that they didn't know they needed it until they got there and said, okay, yeah, this is what we wanted in order to be able to continue to grow our orders and build our fan base.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's going to be an interesting, certainly the evolution of direct sales and mail order on the manufacturer level. You're right. I mean, even new cars at this point are getting to the point of going, well, they have to participate with the dealers because there's the dealer network and there's the unions and stuff. But, we work, Bill and I work in the beverage industry, and it's a three-tier system. We have to sell to distributors, and distributors have to sell to retailers. But in the industry we're in the alcohol beverage world, we have to do it that way.
Correct.
Right. Whereas, someone selling an exhaust kit doesn't have to do it that way.
They certainly can do it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
For them to sell products directly, and these days, more so after COVID than anything, everybody's fine with just shit coming in the mail.
Yeah. Basically. See, that was the thing. Like during COVID, we, as a trade association, we called all of our members and said, okay, we're here for you. How can we help? And we were tracking their business. And in 2020, they had growth. In 21, they had like some companies had 20, 25% growth. And then they had that same amount of growth the next year. So when you talk to some manufacturers in our industry and say, are you back to pre-COVID levels? That's bad for them because they've had 2 years of double-digit growth. And it was because they were able to build this more streamlined connection to the end user. And the end user is just more apt to be able to do their research online. And it's not taking retail out of things completely, but there's been this shift. And we noticed the shift and said, what do we need to do to be able to skate where the puck is going, I guess is the analogy, instead of skate where the puck is.
And the key is ease of purchase.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, no, for sure.
It's a one-click sale. And if you can make things convenient for the consumer, then there you go.
Yeah, because they're gonna win at the end of the day. If you can make something easy for someone to buy and lower the burden of entry, if you will, you'll sell more things. And that's really, I think, what the evolution of the marketplace is. And it sounds, again, very scientific in terms of what we're doing, but it's hard to be able to change quickly. So we know there's going to be this years of adoption that's going to happen, and it may not work, but our job as a trade association is to try to stay relevant and try to keep up with these trends and be there when our members need us the most. And that really is, I think, the crux of what we've built with this thing.
Okay, so we kind of jumped in from the get-go on the the business side of SEMA Fest, but
what's about the entertainment?
Yeah, let's talk about the fun stuff. What can we expect at SEMA Fest? First of all, where is it physically located in regards to the convention center?
It's at the Las Vegas Festival grounds. So it's Las Vegas Strip adjacent. So okay. I'd say it's probably a quarter mile away from the West Hall of the Convention Center, where we're doing the trade show.
Yeah.
And it's a 47-acre festival grounds.
Okay.
That really started in 2015. Rock and Rio came to Las Vegas, and they thought they were going to have a 250,000 version of Rock and Rio in Las Vegas. And I went to that event in 2015 and have been researching where we need to be today for that. Like, I came out here and spent a lot of my time in empty parking lots and watching shuttle buses and moving transportation, because we knew that was going to be a thing that we'd eventually want to grapple with. So I didn't know if it was going to be 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years down the road, but I've really studied this north side of the Strip. So it's happening at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. It's going to be close to the show, so people will be able to go back and forth, but we're only overlapping about 4 hours with the trade show. The event goes from noon to, call it, midnight on Friday, and then noon to midnight on Saturday. But what you can expect is really top level bands. That was one thing that we wanted to differentiate from anything we'd done in the past, was to have really good bands there and incredible automotive activations. So we've got Hoonigan and Formula Drift and Nitro Circus doing shows, and we're treating them almost like bands. So the way we've got it set up is we want people to be able to move around, and we haven't gone vertical with anything. So the music is sort of horizontal, where we've got some hip hop and we've got some rock and different types of or different genres of music. In the same way, we've got different genres of car activations and automotive activations going on. So that's what we're hoping, is people are going to be able to go there and just explore and find their tribe, if you will, and just enjoy this event with them. And that's, again, how we designed it. It'll be really interesting to see how the music crowd and the automotive crowd react. But the thing I can equate it to is, you know, I've been to a bunch of festivals. I was just recently at one where a band came out and they started just the beginning of a song that everybody knew, and this incredible like adrenaline started to go through the crowd and people were just popping. And it's the same way when you're at an NHRA event and you hear a Top Fuel Dragster and it beats your heart for you, or you hear a V8 engine or an exotic car start up and rev, there's crowds of people that just like dig that. So we're taking the same passion and we're pushing them together and we're seeing what happens. And I'm really excited to be able to see people that are going to be really, really big fans of Formula Drift want to go see Wiz Khalifa perform and just have that whole experience of all their passions coming together.
And listen, we
change when everything's an EV.
Yeah, right. Everything's quiet. I, with Bill, a veteran of live events, and I've been there and I've seen it. We were out in Vegas. We went to Allegiant Stadium, and you're right. That first note, you hit Bill's intro music, and the hair stands up on the back of your neck, and the big man runs into the ring. There's no way that's not super exhilarating and nerve wracking every time that happens for the fans, because they're so excited, and I'm there with kids going, you know, and their parents going, oh, look at this. And but you know what we're talking about, Bill. You've done it.
Yeah, obviously you just want to replicate that in a different scene. And you know, hats off to you guys for coming up with a great idea. We hope obviously that it works and that we can attend the next one.
Now we're going to have to pace this out a little bit, the drifting and stuff in the music, because as someone who's done live podcasts at the SEMA show during Ford Out Front events, there's no way you could get those cars on the, and have a conversation at the same time. You need a way for them to like reload people or change tires for to have a conversation outside. So hopefully there's you can get the schedule. So listen, SEMAFest.com is the website. Wiz Khalifa, Incubus, Imagine Dragons, AJR, Walk the Moon, Third Eye Blind, Bush, Ludacris, the list goes on and on. It's a huge music festival. And in between these acts, there's Nitro Circus, there's Hoonigans, there's Formula Drift, sort of the ultimate combination of automotive and music, as you were saying.
You're going to see stuff you've never seen. Like, think of a Ken Block memoriam, right? Or a tribute to Ken Block. Mm-hmm. The way they want to do this is to have 43 cars drifting at the same time. That's not something you're ever going to see anywhere else.
No, that those sounds like carnage.
That's Hoonigan, and it's their way of tipping their hat to their founder, and it's that's the level of uniqueness that's going to be at the event.
The new X Games.
Kind of a new X Games, and like Nitro Circus and like WWE, it's kind of a stunt show, and it's fun and it's entertaining, and it's Monster Jam as well, right? Like it's a little bit of that, which is just a big dance. It's a big ballet of monster trucks, right? It's a version of that. Right. It should be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Is there some integration of SEMA Ignited? And what I mean is are all the cars that normally go to SEMA Ignited from the trade show floor, are they going, is that a car show portion of this? How does that work?
Not in this initial year.
Okay.
Because we learned over the years, we've now done this cruise since 2011. So we're on our 11th year, but we've learned that the cars at the show don't necessarily do well going long distances or.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring that up. But SEMA Ignited version one at the link, it was hundreds of cars and they're all going, we got to go where? And then the traffic was so bad. It took so long and everyone was running out of gas because you're not allowed to have more than, you know, just a couple of gallons on the SEMA show floor. And I remember we were in a press car. I think we were in like a Jag press car. And I was with Pete Shaporis and Pete's like, let's check out the SEMA Ignited. And it's like, we couldn't even get there. And cars were people walking up and down the street with gas cans and stuff. It was,
I remember the first time we did the Optima Ultimate Streetcar Invitational and we led the Friday launch.
Yeah.
You take that right and boom, you're slammed into traffic.
I mean, even with closing roads and police escort, there's just no way to get that many cars to go a distance, you know, like it's kind of.
Yeah. Cause there's 1200 cars in that parade now.
Yeah.
Like
when it's a big thing. Having it leave the building and just go to the grandstands and to the West Hall, that is the parade, so it's slow. Yeah. But you're right, with that many cars, I had cars on display. I had a car on display last year, so the car wasn't able to make it to the parade, but I was there with the car watching everyone kind of leave, and I was getting some photos and some videos and talking to a few of the friends in the space that, you know, you had cars there. And before I knew it, I was like, we've been standing here for 3 hours and these cars are still leaving the convention center.
Yeah.
And you know, people are sitting in their cars almost falling asleep going, hey, this is the parade portion. So, and they only have to go to West Hall. So,
yeah. So we've shortened it up a little bit. We still have 20,000 people plus come out to that event. And the thing that's amazing to me is everybody's got their camera out. So we're getting hundreds of millions of views of stuff like that when you really get down to it. But it's not going to connect to the event this year, but really what we're doing is we've got all these things kind of happening, and we're just trying to anchor ourselves where we can start to build this week. And when you look at other industries like Sturgis or South by Southwest, or to a certain extent, Car Week in Northern California, like they don't start intentionally. It kind of happens organically. So we've done a little bit of intention with SEMA Fest, but this thing is going to grow organically. And if we have a way where we can fit that cruise into something and tie everything together, we'll continue to do that. But it really is just trying to promote the automotive lifestyle and continue to build this movement of passion and enthusiasm for anything on four wheels with a motor.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Tom, and I appreciate you being here and talking about it. You know, the SEMA show, our listeners have heard a lot about it, you know, for the last, you know, 15 years or so that we've been doing podcasting, Bill and I, the last 4 years, and we're veterans of the show. So we wanted to chat a little bit about this portion of it. So SEMAFest.com is the website. You guys can still get tickets there. There's different packages. So you just go to the website and find out if you want to do a single day, you want to do a double day, you know, VIP passes, all kinds of fun stuff. So it's going to be fun, and I wish you guys the best of luck, and I will be there. Bill's not going to be able to make it, but he's got to hold up in Texas on the ranch. And,
football boys, I got to make it Friday night. So,
yeah. But I'm definitely excited to check it out. And, I'm excited about it. You know, like we said, we're friends with so many of you guys at SEMA and the exhibitors and so many of the media and people that, you know, the SEMA show itself, I look forward to. It's a chance for us to connect with so many people within the industry and a handful that we don't normally get to see out here on the West Coast, because they're not out here.
Right.
So, looking forward to that and all the cool cars and the cool parts. I tell you, one of my favorite things of SEMA, I know the cars are kind of the big attraction, but every year I go to the new product section and I go up and down every single aisle, and I just like to get a glimpse of all the new cool stuff that's coming out there. I am an aftermarket parts super freak, and have been for a long time. And Bill knows it's sort of an encyclopedia of aftermarket parts. So I'm a fan of that portion of the show.
Yeah. And stuff like that, really, people don't understand the evolution of the SEMA show, but the last 2 years, the SEMA show has been the most attended trade show in the country. And our new product showcase is the largest new product showcase of any trade show in the country. And we just have this thing that we think is normal, that's spectacular. So again, I'm a trade show nerd. I've been producing the SEMA show for SEMA since 2011. And I have a bunch of industry people who are coming to this to see how we do stuff. And that to me is the ultimate compliment. When you have somebody else that does a prestigious event that says, hey, do you mind if I come check out your new product showcase? So Matt, it's cool that you go there, because we spend a lot of time just making that area efficient so you can see all the new stuff. But there's so many nooks and crannies that happen at the SEMA show that people just see as normal because they're in this industry, that are completely unique to any other event you go to.
Yeah, I agree. And I enjoy it. So I look forward to it every year. And, you know, it's a nice, if I can reduce the amount of work and just have turned it more into a fun vacation trip, then that's probably good. Although, you know, it gets expensive.
Yes.
To be in Vegas for a week. But Tom, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We're going to wrap things up and start gearing up for heading out to the SEMA show. So right. SEMAFest.com is the website. And until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
And your foot on the floor.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast, is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.